the resurrection, got up, walked out of that grave by the power of God. Now we know that he ascended back to heaven. He's the right hand of the Father on high. And that resurrection body, because you and I can also have that same power of that resurrection. It's called the first resurrection, the first fruit, Jesus Christ. And all those remained knows Jesus Christ will be in that resurrection. We thank you so much. But now, as we know that Jesus Christ raised from that grave, we know bodily resurrection as the Bible teaches us. But how about one of these days, how about you sitting here this morning? How about you? How about your body? How about your loved ones that's already planted in a cemetery somewhere or another? Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your wife, your husband, your grandparents, children, you. What about those bodies? What about your body? The resurrection. Now, there's a lot of questions that we do not know about the resurrection body. And if you will ever want to find out exactly what it's all about, you read Deuteronomy 29:29, which I'm fixing to read. And here's a lot of the reasons I don't understand and don't know the questions that I have about more than one thing in the Bible. And it says, the secret things belongs unto the Lord. But those things which are revealed belongs unto us and our children. I want to tell you this morning about some things that the Bible has revealed to us that God says, and the truths that they belong to us and our children about your resurrection, my resurrection, the resurrection of our body, the things that God wants us to know. We'll never understand and never know all the mysteries about the resurrection body, but there's some things that we can know that the Bible said we should know and understand. Today is Easter, and it means something very wonderful that is going to happen to these bodies that we have today. Something very great. In that great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us some of these things that's going to happen to our bodies. It says in verse 35, but some men will say, and they're dealing with the impossibility, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? But also Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you for this great day. Father, for the resurrection, Father, Lord, 2,000 years ago, for the only living God that we serve and love and we appreciate and we honor with glory this day. For, Lord, for that body was raised out of that grave, Lord, that our bodies also will be changed. And how, God, we pray, Lord, for the furthers of this service this morning, that hearts may be changed here today. That, Lord, they may have a new heart today and come to know, God, that each one of us, Lord, have the sentence of death upon every one of us, because we'll all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, how I pray, God, that our hearts might be open with the understanding, God, that there is death upon us, but there also life can be in us with Jesus Christ. Father, work here this day as we know that you will with your presence. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen and amen. We have in our old grave a lot of our loved ones, and their old bodies right now with our loved ones is being returned to the dust. But we know the Bible says that the spirit and the soul is going back to be with the Lord if they know Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that's far better than what you and I are in today in these bodies that we live. These verses tells us about the resurrection body, the factual body that we have in fashion for heaven. One of these days, these bodies we have could not be fashioned for heaven because we have sin. But one of these days, we're going to have a new body. a little boy and his grandmother had passed away and died, and they had taken her down to the funeral home, and it was time for the visitation, and his mother and father tried to tell him about how to prepare him for what he's fixing to go see. And they said, "Son, now your grandmother, she's going to be with the Lord. But get ready, we fix and go down to the funeral home for the viewing." So they went into the funeral home, and he saw his grandmother there in that casket. And those beautiful, beautiful music and the beautiful, wonderful flowers that's all around. And he said, this is what heaven's like. You get that? He thought she was already in heaven. This is what heaven is. But no, my friend, that's not heaven. She was not there in that body. As our loved ones have been planted in this old earth, they're not there. They're with Jesus Christ in heaven. But they're going to have a new body. Their spirit and their soul, knowing Jesus Christ, is with him now. One of these days, a resurrection body. Now, it says there in verse 35, as I read again, "But some men will say now, doubting this, how are the dead raised up? How are these old bodies that's been there for years, going back to, how are they going to be raised up? And what are they going to look like? How's this going to happen now?" This is an impossibility to some men to think about this, that how are these bodies going to be raised again? Body resurrection to the saved. You see, on television, there used to be an old program that come on. It says, "This is your life." Well, in these verses, this is your future. This is your future this morning. Some will think, you know, that it's scientific impossible for these bodies to be raised up, and it would be. But it says, but God, there's a difference. Paul to King Agrippa was doubting the resurrection. Acts chapter 28 and 8 says, "Why should it be thoughtful, thy thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? You saw his miracles." In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." If God made the heavens and the earth out of nothing, he can raise the dead out of something. But God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, probably one of the greatest preachers since old Paul, he says, "Everything that God does is wonderful until you get used to it." All the miracles, all the great thing we see is wonderful until we get used to it and start expecting it. Just like the air that you're breathing right now. It's so wonderful to take that breath of air, but until we get used to it. I'd like to tell you about five things that we need to learn about the Bible, about these bodies. You're going to die, or you're going up in the rapture, one of the two. These old bodies, and your loved ones, like I say, been in the grave, some of them for years, and then turn back to the dust of this old earth, which you said that we have come from. But Deuteronomy 29:29, those secret things we will not know about. But I want to tell you, he says, those things have been revealed to us about our bodies and about our bodies of our loved one, what's going to really happen. Well, these five things it tells us in the Bible. One thing it illustrates with a grain, sowing grain, or putting grain in the dirt. Verse 36 and 37 of this chapter, he says, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bears grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain." Now, it's not merely seed. Now, the Holy Spirit of God given us an illustration about our bodies. And he used these illustrations as grain. But this was a particular kind of grain. He did not say seed. Attention to this. He did not say seed. Our body's going to be resurrected like seed. But it says grain. He uses wheat here. Well, what is the difference? An apple seed, when planted in the ground, grows an apple tree, and the fruit of an apple tree is an apple. He did not use seed of that kind. He used a seed of a grain, corn, wheat. It says these bodies will be like wheat, will be like a grain of corn. When a grain of corn or a wheat is planted in the ground, it goes in that ground and comes back up. And what is the fruit of a grain of corn? Another grain of corn. Not an apple and not an orange, not a peach, but another grain like the one was put in the ground. the Holy Spirit is very, very careful. He is God to tell us exactly what's going to happen. Another grain, that grain of wheat, exactly like the grain that was planted. Your bodies is going to come up, fashioned like their old body. Paul says, now a grain put in the ground, it dies, it comes back. It's beautiful, it's brand new, and Paul says, you know, it begins to grow. But when you plant in the ground, that wheat or that grain of corn appears to die. It appears to decay. It appears to rot when you plant that seed, that grain. But there is called a germ of life in that grain. And that germ of life reproduces another grain just like that one. Whenever we are in that old grave, you see, we still have that germ of life that Christ Jesus gave us. And you know, it appears that we die when we put in that old grave, but there's a germ of life, you know, that we don't really die. That grain of corn, that grain of wheat don't really die, although it goes into the ground. And it looks like to me it rots, it goes into the ground, it rots. But there's a germ of life, and it begins to come up and grow and reproduces another grain just like that one. Here today, I'm telling you these old bodies that God says that we shall know. It appears that we die. But Jesus Christ said, speaking to Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, their brother, in John 11:26, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He's speaking now about Lazarus. All of us shall never die. He's in the tomb of Lazarus, Mary, and he says, now, shall never die. And do you believe this? Part of you, that germ that God has given you, even though putting in the ground in that old casket, it will never, ever die. Is that possible? These bodies go into deterioration and disintegration. These old bodies, some has been there for hundreds of years. How is this possible that God could do this to these old bodies? Well, but someone would join the army. Say a man was going to join the army, and he joined the army, and he went overseas, and he was in battle, and, you know, as you see on television, they come back, some with no arms and some with no legs, and, you know, it's really terrible. This comes over there overseas, and he loses his leg. He comes back home, and after a while, he gets him a job there in some mill or another, and he works in that mill, and he cuts off his finger. Well, after a while, God's called this man into the missionary work, and he goes over to Africa, in the missionary work in Africa, and he dies, and he's buried in Africa. How in the world is God going to put all that back together again? He's lost a leg there in the army and a finger there in the mill. He's over there in Africa, and there he's buried under a tree somewhere there in Africa. How is this possible about these bodies? How is it possible? There's a lot of questions about these bodies, are there not? How God is going to do all this? Well, the body you have now really is not the body that you had 10 years ago. Amen. It's not the body some of you had 50 years ago. Why? It's not the body, because you know what? That you're looking at now. Because our bodies is changing all the time. Now, whenever I was born at an early age. And I was a beautiful baby. Look at me now. We are going through body change continuously. Continuously, we're going through these bodily changes. But I'm the same person I was when I was a baby. But I'm going through a change. These bodies are changing. I remember when I first carried my family on vacation, we crossed the Mississippi River. What a great day it was. Look at that. I heard about it all my life, but I got a chance to cross the great Mississippi River. Oh, that was a great day. Well, since that time, I have crossed it several times. Every time I go out to Mexico, I go across the Mississippi River. I don't know how many times I've been across it now. But the same water that rolled under those bridges across the Mississippi River the first time that I went, it's not the same water, if you go down there today, is going under the Mississippi, and it's still called the Mississippi River. It's the same river, but it's changing continuously. It's not the same water. There's a change taking place. And it's called the DNA in us. In Psalms 139:16, you need to remember this psalm, talking about the Lord. Lord, thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which is continuously were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. It's saying that God saw me in my mother's womb before I was born. He had a book, and the book he's talking about here is the DNA structure of my body before it ever was fashioned, before your body was ever, your members were ever fashioned. Yet was none of them, it says. But yet the DNA was there, and God saw me. I was unperfect. And yet he says in the books all my member was written, which is continuous not, but now fashioned with none of them. But now here I am. When the resurrection comes, God is going to put back together. He's going to take that old book, and the books are open. He's going to take that old book and say, oh, there he is. There's that man right there. The DNA of that man, that old body, is yet like in my mother's womb. Yet he's going to reach down, and the illustration is a grain of wheat. He's going to bring my body back again, a new body as a grain, that germination that's in that grain. Do you understand that, IB? No, I don't understand that. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. That's what you call faith in the Bible. The first thing is illustrated with grain, individualism with uniqueness. That's what the Bible says. The second thing, our body's going to be individual but with great uniqueness. Now, we're not going to be all like eggs in a carton in heaven. We have these new bodies. The Bible tells us that. God does not make copies. He makes the originals. Verse 38 in this same chapter. But God gives a body as it had pleased him to every seed his own body. Now, there's no two snowflakes, they say, just alike. No two stars in heaven alike. No two grains of sands on the seashore alike. There are no two bodies on this earth alike. Listen, the resurrection, we're going to have uniqueness, but it's going to be different. They say that no one had the same fingerprints. Nobody had. Can you imagine the billions of people on the earth, about 6 billion people right now, and all have been, and nobody had the same fingerprint? A little boy got a fingerprint kit for Christmas, and he was beginning to use his fingerprint, and it says on the box, no two fingerprints are the same. He said, the man who said that is not telling the truth, because he said, I know three people with the same fingerprints. Santa Claus and my daddy and whoever broke my piggy bank. But God says that we're all going to be different. You remember on Jesus Christ on the Mount Transfiguration that he had his disciples up there, and there appeared there Moses and Elijah and Jesus Christ. And you know, his disciples had never saw Moses. They never saw Elijah. They needed no introduction. We will know one another. Can you explain that? No. They needed no introduction, but they knew them. Individual uniqueness. God is going to make something out of us. But a third thing, these bodies are infused with perfection. Are you perfect today? But they will be infused with perfection. Do you want these old bodies back anyway? Do you want these old bodies really back, all the pain and the heartache and agony? Did you want someone to come back in the old body, somebody being in cancer and pain and hurt all this time, you know, they go on and be with the Lord, you know? Would you want them to come back to these old bodies? And four, I'm going to tell you, this world gets through with you, we all going to be looking for an exit out of this place. But you want these old, no, you wouldn't want this old body back. Well, verse 42, keep your Bibles open. 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sowed in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Do you know what that means? Sowed to change from corruption to incorruption. Corruption means that we're in decay right now. We're in the decay right now. But now all of us sitting here today, did you know we're dying a little bit right now? By degrees, every one of us. Our heart is beating right now, and our heart is beating to a funeral procession going to the graveyard somewhere if Jesus Christ don't come back. That their corruption means decay right now. But now it says, verse 43, it is sowed in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sowed in weakness, it is raised in power. raised in glory. Thank you, Lord, for the. I thank the Lord for my old bodies. He's patched this thing up through doctors and medicine research and all y'all have too. You know what? Doctor been through operation. I thank the Lord for my body, for the health I have right now. Don't you? Amen? All right. Thank you. But listen, one of these days, we're going to have a glorious body. It says raised in glory. From dishonor to glory. Did you know a diamond and a lump of coal is made out of carbon, the same material? A diamond and a lump of coal. What's the difference? Coal and diamond. Well, one is honor and one is dishonor. And that's the difference, made out of the same substance. Same stuff. It's been improved and it's been changed. You know a caterpillar and a butterfly? There's a change from that caterpillar to that butterfly. From that change from dishonor to glory. Corruption to incorruption. From dishonor to glory. You know, we've never seen a man as God intended for a man to be. You've never seen a man. None of us. We've never seen a man how God intends a man to be. Why have we not? Because sin has marred us, has scarred us, and disfigured us. You look at man today. You don't see God. We see Adam. If you had never seen an airplane in your life, never heard an airplane, and someone carried you to a crash at one of these 747s scattered over about 50 acres, and they say, okay, there's an airplane. Have you saw an airplane? No, you saw a crash of an airplane. Well, you look around us today, you see a man how God had intended us to be? No, you see a wreck and a crash because of Adam and because of sin. We're not like God intends us to be. God intends for us to have a change. We're just a wreck. Verse 43, sowed in weakness, we're raised in power. We have limitations on this earth, do we not? But one of these days they'll fall away. In Revelation it says we're going to be in the land of no more, where there won't be limitations. There's going to be no more. No more crying, no more death, no more sorrow. They'll be in the land of no more, no more limitation, because we'll have to be sowed in this weakness, but we'll be raised in power. Now pay attention to this real close in verse 44. It is sowed in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Excuse me, 44. It is sowed a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. That word natural body, pay attention very close, but that means that natural body, it means a soulish, motivated by a soulish principle that motivates our bodies daily, rather than a spiritual principle one day that we will have. And it did not say a spirit body. Look at your Bibles now. It did not say a spirit body, but a spiritual body that's motivated by spiritual principles. People try to escape the body resurrection by saying a spiritual body. Like Jesus Christ raised a spiritual body. He was not raised a spiritual body. He was raised a body form. You will not be raised a spiritual body. It says a spiritual body. What does that mean? And what is the difference that he's talking about here? Because there's no such thing as a spiritual body. That's contradiction. There's a spirit or there's a body. There's a body, there's a spirit, and there's difference. There's not so such a thing as a round and a square hole. They're either a square hole or they're a round hole. There's no such thing as a silent noise. Contradiction, spirit body. You don't have a spirit body. Jesus Christ said, I'll read it again in a few minutes, a spirit has not flesh and bones. A spirit has not flesh and bones. Raised a literally, actually body. Motivated, we will be motivated by a spiritual principle. A spiritual principle, not a soulish nature principle. Jesus Christ says, I go away, prepare a place for you, a place where the real soul and the real body be united together, a real place for a real body. A real body. It says there, the fourth thing now, it's identified with Jesus Christ, and we'll hurry along, I'll read several verses now. Verse 45 and on, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, that's Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. What is he talking about here? Key verse, mark it down. Verse 49, talking about our bodies. And as we have bore the image of earthly today, sitting here, the Adam, you have bore that image, it says in the Bible. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The heavenly. The image now is Adam earthly. One day we'll have the image of Jesus Christ. Like Adam now, but we be like Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and 28 says, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, he also called. Who he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? People say that we're made in the image of God wrong. They say we're made in the image of God wrong. What's we talking about here? As you look around here today, do you think God is like we are? You think we made an image of God, this wreck that we have in here today? Verse 49 says we will be like him. Adam was in the image of God. Adam was in the image of God. Now, after Adam sinned, he was marred, disfigured, and Adam had a son, it says, after his likeness, after his image, Adam's son. And we all come from that line, after Adam, after he had been marred, after that, not in the likeness of God, we will be one day, but after the likeness of Adam. You and I today have the likeness of Adam. The sin had marred us. But one of these days, you see, we're going to be transformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I hope you come on Wednesday night. We had a good crowd Wednesday night, nearly 80 people. You only come on Wednesday night. We're on 1 John. And I read this. And listen to what it says in 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You will not see him till you are like him. As I said on Wednesday night, you could not see Jesus Christ because you would disintegrate. You could not look into the holiness of God in these bodies. No one has never seen Jesus Christ, but you will one day. But before you see him, you're going to be like him. And you'll see him as he is. He's going to change these old bodies. You see, Jesus Christ was not a ghost. See, a ghost after his resurrection. Jesus Christ raised, and he was walking around, saw his disciples. And it says there in Luke chapter 24. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 24. And that, you know, this after his resurrection, he appeared to them in the house. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified, and they were frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do you thought rise in your heart? Behold, here's my hands and here's my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit have not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. After the resurrection, after he appeared to them, this body resurrection. Jesus Christ had a body resurrection. Be like him. Psalm 17 and 15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake and see thy likeness. Easter is about victory for your body. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but it's about your body and your loved ones. Well, we're going to be changed, a new body. Immortalized now with victory. Verses 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Talking about the rapture in a moment, and twinkling of an eye, and the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So then this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall be put on immortality. Then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Mortal, what you are today. Mortal, that which dies. It says when we have this mortal, you're going to die. You're dying today. That's what mortal is about dying. Immortality, immortal, which can never die. When this mortal puts on immortality, when this person is going to die, I'm dying, but when I put on immortality, it can never die. Even though it's decaying, Paul says the spirit, now and then he brags a little bit in the other verses. Paul brags a little bit in verse 55. Listen to what old Paul says. He's been bragging. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which has given us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, ye be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's bragging a little bit now about that old grave, about that old sting. You know, a lot of us have been stung with a honeybee. You know, when a honeybee stings you and he flies off, if you knock him off, you know what? He leaves that sting in you. He can't never sting but one time. A honeybee. He might buzz around your ear and everything else. You might knock him off, but you see, you don't have to be worried about it because he can't sting but one time. Well, guess what happened? He might buzz. He might frighten you. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Verse 55. Thank be unto God, which gives us a victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because Jesus Christ took the pain out of the parting. He took the dread out of dying. He took the gloom out of the grave. Don't have to worry about that. Old death may buzz around you and may frighten you, but Jesus Christ has took the sting out of it. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. That's what Easter is all about victory. 57 again, thanks be unto God. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary died. He was buried Easter Sunday. He rose again. Old Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face death. Because he lives, I can face eternal future. Because he lived, Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, Jesus Christ 2,000 years, the end of the story was not then. I'm going to tell you, it keeps going on every day that we might face tomorrow. The first resurrection, Jesus Christ for the first resurrection, the first of many fruits, just like him, you and I today. But you see now, for those who never accept Jesus Christ this day, they're going to be a second resurrection. Your loved one, your family, all that died in the Lord, been there 2,000 years, 1,000 years, 100 years, deterioration back to the grave. When Jesus Christ comes back for the rapture of the church, the dead in Christ, those are already dead, he's going to be caught up first in a twinkling of an eye. The rest of us are going to be meeting the Lord in the air. We're all going to be changed. You see, he's going to bring these bodies back up out of the grave. They're going to have a new body, fashioned like I'm talking about here this hour. They're going to unite with a soul and a spirit that's already be in heaven, and these bodies are going to be fashioned in heaven. And that is the first resurrection, but there's a second resurrection. And that won't happen till after tribulation, those 7 years, 1,000 reign of Christ on this earth. And then it says there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And that's when those people would not accept Jesus Christ when they heard the gospel. And they died of their sins. It says the sea gave up the dead. It says the hell and the grave gave up the dead. And it's all called, therefore, the great white throne judgment. And they was judged according to things they'd done in those bodies. And they're going to have a new body also. Those lost people are going to have a new body. They're not going to the grave and be burnt up and be over with. No. They're not going to hell and be burnt up. Some of them's already in hell being burnt. Their spirit and their soul. But they're going to come back up out of hell and God's going to judge them. And they're going to give them the body that will never burn up, and they always have that pain continuously over and over and over. That fire is burning continuously over and over for all eternity. While the ones that know Jesus is going to be with him in glory, and our new body is going to be fashioned for all those great things that God has prepared for us for through the foundation of the Lord in this world before it ever begun. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this day? Did you know you got a body that God has given you? And mother and father, let me tell you, that little one that you have brought in this world, that little baby that you brought in this world, it has a destiny somewhere. Has a destiny somewhere. And it's up to you to ride upon that little diamond that you hold in your arms and brought into this world. And that destiny will be heaven. It's up to you. But how about it, will you ever see those loved ones again? What will happen if you go out into eternity without knowing Jesus Christ? You go into a place forever and forever and forever to be in torment. Would you want that to happen? Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago made it possible this day that your bodies could unite with your loved ones and your family bodies already know Jesus Christ. But you have to be saved. You have to accept what Christ done on the cross 2,000 years ago. You have to understand the bad news before you can receive the good news, that you are a lost sinner. All your goodness are filthy rags in God's sight. You will never be saved by your own good works. You'll never be saved by being good enough. The best 15 minutes you ever live will not be good enough to get you to heaven. It's by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's up to you to accept that. We are not perfect, but one day we will be in Christ Jesus. These old bodies are not perfect, but he will make me one that is perfect. And he won't have any problem doing it. How about you this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ? Is Brother Orville come to come to the song of invitation? I said, Brother Thorny, he's on the list for a heart transplant. But you see, everyone here today, if you're lost, did you know what? You're on that list for a heart transplant also. And I know, Brother Bud, it's a terrible thing to have to go through that. Bless God that he might have that heart transplant. But you see, he still needs that spiritual heart, and every one of us do. I went through bypass surgery. Many of y'all have. They operated on my heart, but you see, I'm still going to die. I'm still going to die if I don't live through the rapture comes. And my body's going back to the dirt of this earth. I'm going to no cemetery, I hope. Out there called Mill Creek Cemetery. I got some loved ones and families out there. But you know, whenever Jesus Christ comes back, if I'm already in that grave, you know, every one of my loved ones know Jesus Christ is going to be caught up together in there. And he's going to make them a new body just like he's going to make me. Fashioned unto his glorified body. Do you want that this morning? All you have to do is accept it. It's plain, it's laid out before you, and the choice is up to you. What Jesus Christ done 2,000 years ago, his resurrection, he has gifted to you this day about your body. As we stand and sing, our hymn. Don't wait for someone else.